One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the show. I'm Ryan with Dave.
Hey, hey.
And Bobby.
How you doing?
We are live from my garage because our studio is closed for 2 weeks. Not sure why, but I think it's because they had to remove that Confederate placard from the front of the club.
Yeah, big project that was going on.
That's true. It wasn't actually in front of the club. It was in front of Horton Plaza. And it makes you wonder, as a city in California, why we would have that there in the first place.
I think people just think this is the South.
It was probably put there as a prank.
Yeah,
it's like some hardcore Confederate is like, you know what? I'm putting this up.
It was like a Robert E. Lee plaque that they had out there. And given all of the turmoil currently going on, they got smart and they decided to get ahead of the controversy and go and pop that out. I had always wondered this. You know, now it's becoming a big thing where people are going after the Confederate flag and the Confederate monuments and stuff. I used to have a bit about this. I've wondered about this for a long time, why it took so long, because it seems like it's just, like, we don't have Nazi statues around any place, and we fought them.
Well, not anymore. We took them down.
Yeah, that's right. We fought them. Why would we have Confederate statues up? They were the ones we fought and beat.
I don't know. But
honestly, I'm tired of that shit. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I feel like there's nothing we could say on the whole thing that happened in Charlottesville that hasn't already been. You haven't already seen on Facebook 800 times and have been beat over the head with it. You have your own opinions. We all know what side we're on. And
here's one I'm not tired of yet. I've seen a few posts about your bachelor party.
That's right. That's right. Sorry that you had to miss it. Bobby, I'm going to fill you in some things you missed after you left.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh, Bobby had to leave.
Yeah, I can't be gone too long from the kid now. It's just kind of a shitty thing to do.
Come on.
It's a shitty thing to do when you have a baby to be like, hey, wife, deal with this for the next 12 hours while I go drink and have fun with the guys.
Yeah, well, you know, that
sounds perfectly acceptable to me.
Yeah, so I did the thing where I started the bachelor party with you guys. We started out paintballing, had a blast.
Right. So that was surprise number one. Like I mentioned in the last episode, my friends didn't tell me what they had in store. First one was my first time paintballing. Now, I should mention this. We get there, and half of my bachelor party is ex-military.
Right, yes.
One is on, not used to be, is currently on SEAL Team. He is one of the most elite fighters in the nation, if not the world, when it comes to, you know, firefights, guns. So, and he shows up in full tactical gear. Like, he's not fucking around.
Yeah.
He's got like a Kevlar vest. He's got his tactical camo pants with the knee pads built into it on.
Right. He's got a paint rocket launcher.
Yeah, well, now, he did not have his own paintball equipment. He's used to firing real machine guns.
Right.
So anyway, he gets the shitty rental gun like the rest of us.
Yeah.
But I think, holy shit, it's my first time playing, but we're going to kill these kids.
Are you guys fighting against each other, or are you fighting another team?
No, we're fighting against others.
We're fighting other teams, and I look around, and there's a lot of, like, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a massacre. So I gather everyone around.
You start to feel bad. You're like, oh, these kids are going to cry.
So I gather everyone around. I'm like, everyone, this is Mike. For those of you who don't know him, he's on SEAL Team currently. So he's going to show us a few tactical things. Everyone, please listen. And he did. He showed us some really cool things. He was showing us, like, all right, when you come out from behind some sort of barricade, what you want to do is fire three times, go back in, but never pop back out from the place you were at last because they'll be aiming for that. Come from a different spot. So he's showing us all this really cool military shit. I'm like, oh, we got this. So anyway, we walk out there, and the referee in the field, he kind of knows that we're idiots with rental gear, and he knows this other team that's comprised of seven people versus our, I think, 15.
And he's like, easily 15.
And he goes, all right.
Because it was us plus another couple people.
Another group, And so they're like, all right, all of you versus this seven.
And what's funny is when he said that, a couple of people in our group were scoffing like, and I immediately think to martial arts where the instructor goes, okay, you 250-pound guy, you're going to go against this 130-pound guy, and the 130-pound guy can't use his right arm. And you're like, oh, he's going to kick my ass.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But I'm like, all right, though those handicaps may give us the advantage. I understand he's doing this for a reason, but I still think that outnumbered, we might stand a chance. We got slaughtered. And when I say slaughtered, I mean we lasted 8-9 seconds.
Only like, I think Carlos, me on the left side, I think we're the only ones who actually left the original barricade on the left side. A few people left it on the right side, and everybody else got massacred exactly in the starting position behind the original barricade.
Now for me, when I was crouched behind this metal barricade, and I hear these pellets like just pounding against it. It sounds like a hailstorm.
Yeah.
And I see all five current and ex-military get taken out, and then I see our fucking rogue leader, SEAL Team 6, Mike himself, goes running out and just gets lit up like a fucking Christmas tree. I'm like, holy shit, they took out a fucking guy that killed Osama bin Laden. I'm fucked. So anyway, I'm like, all right. Then all of a sudden, the fire ceases. I'm like, I don't know if they're reloading or what, but I may go out, but this is my chance to at least get a shot off and fucking take at least one or two of the guys these out. And I just kind of run out like, ah, la, 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 la. I fucking run out, point my gun, pull the trigger, and realize, oh, shit, there's a safety I didn't fucking take off. And I just get fucking blown up. I just, it was like a Jackson Pollock painting.
Oh, yeah, that was fantastic. We got massacred repeatedly until eventually they had to, like, split up the good guys and put them on other crews. But it shows experience doesn't always translate from one thing to another. Like, even though those people, not just your buddy who was in the SEALs, but there was, like you said, a bunch of military guys there, a bunch of guys with military training. And we still got slaughtered, and we got slaughtered because shooting an M16 does not translate to shooting a shitty rental paintball gun, and the tactics and techniques you would use are way different, and everything about it is different. So while it might sound intimidating, oh, that guy's on the SEAL team, to be honest, the 12-year-old who plays paintball every weekend and has a good gun has a huge advantage.
Yeah. I'm looking at a gigantic bruise on your arm as you're telling this story.
I've got quite a few of those.
Yeah, nice. Both of us, yeah. Oh, speaking of bruises, the worst one. Round number two. Mike from She's My Cassette was, he drums for that Misfits thing I do. He was like the last one in round number two.
You should have something from Sometimes Julie.
As we were eliminated, we had to go up on this hill where you could look down on the whole thing. So now we see all these people closing in on Mike, who's like the last guy. They surround him. Now, it's kind of uncool because they said if you get that close, you should give him a chance to surrender.
Right. Mike just pulls his gun out, puts it to his own head. He's like, all right, I'm out.
With honor!
Dude, this is an interesting practical experience. When I was in Michigan, we'll talk about this later, I went to a shooting range with my cousin.
Uh-huh.
Very hard to shoot a gun.
Yeah.
Like, a target was 10 feet away, and I got maybe half of them inside the target.
What were you using, a rifle, a handgun?
9mm.
Handgun?
Yes.
Okay, well, you're a bad shot, but I mean...
10 feet away, it's hard, dude.
It's not hard, but...
No, it is.
Anyway, as we're all looking down on Mike as they encroached upon him, one guy took aim, did not give him a chance to surrender, and just fired right into his dick.
Oh.
It was so great.
The entire hillside all in unison went, oh!
And he got two shots, one on his stomach, one on his dick, from like the same little volley, like the pop-pop. And then he showed us the one on his stomach, and it was pretty brutal, because usually the bruises take a while to form, and that one was already formed. And he's like, yeah, you could imagine my dick.
And then he went to the bathroom, comes back, he's like, yeah, it's red like a tomato.
Ooh.
And I just felt bad because now he has to go home to his wife that knows that he was at a bachelor party with me, and his dick came home purple, and he'd be like, paintball. So that was that. So
classic Shores.
So anyway, so that was that. Then a couple other cool things. The guys took me to an Irish pub for some dinner and some drinks. We went to a casino, had some more drinks, played some blackjack. Now came, then Bobby took off.
Right.
Now came the end of the evening.
Now the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Well, not before I took a whole bunch of edibles midway through the paintball round and then had the greatest paintball experience ever where I was actually in Vietnam.
That's not a great thing.
It was fantastic.
Look at Bobby out here like, is it man or is Vietnam only a blast?
People are like, why did
people
you keep
were smoking J's, doing heroin, surfing. J's.
Bobby was doing a lot of racial slurs at that paintball game.
So anyways, end of the night, like I mentioned before, the bachelor party and the bachelorette party all rented like this little mini mansion in the Escondido Hills together.
Right, and you met up.
Yeah, we all met up at the end of the night. Like I said in the last episode, so there's no like, what'd you do? You know, what happened? It's all on the up and up. We're all together. Everyone's back with their wife and girlfriend. We're all drinking, swimming in the pool. It's awesome. But then the strippers come. Now, the guys and the girls both got their own stripper. The girls got a male stripper. Mm-hmm. We got a female stripper. The way it works is this. So my Aaron's maid of honor, Ashley, a good friend of mine as well, she ordered both, and she asked us for specifics, and I have to say this first and foremost, this was not her fault, the following that's going to happen. She was catfished. They did not send who she asked for, because evidently, when you do something like this, I've never ordered a stripper to like a private residence before.
Right, right.
They get like you pick the one you want, and then you pick like three backups in case that person is sick or doesn't make it or whatever. So this one was not on any of those lists. Mine, the male one was, and I met him. He was fine. He's like, hey, yeah, how's it going? But this one comes in. Okay, not attractive,
okay.
but that's fine. Lopsided boob job, kind of weird. I'm like, all right, that's fine. But the thing is, I'm not, at this point, totally upset that I'm not attracted to her.
Right.
You know, because when it's a bachelor party and all your friends are standing around you on a couch, it's not supposed to be a sexual experience,
right.
You know?
It's almost a novelty.
It's a novelty.
Exactly.
It's like, hey, your boobs are on my head, ha, ha, ha. You know, it's not supposed to be like a, yeah, we're going to go in the back and handle some business. You know, like, it's just supposed to be like, okay, she's going to rub her butt on my chest and everyone's going to laugh and throw ones at her,
right.
Ha, ha. So anyway, everyone has their stacks of ones. My best man gives me like $100 worth of ones. You know, he's like, all right, man, let's have some fun. Like, that's the bachelor. And the first thing she does is she lifts up my shirt without asking, undoes my belt, rips it off me, and goes, this will be fun, and starts slapping the couch to either side of me really hard, like a slave master.
Yikes.
And I'm like, you just,
you're like, that's a rental. This is a rental.
She's like, you like that? You like that? I'm like, no, be careful. And so she's smacking this belt at me. She's like, what, pussy? You like that? I'm like, oh, my God. So anyway, she's like, all right. And then just jumps up, like, thrusts her butt into my face so hard it knocks my neck back. I'm like, ow, fuck.
Is that why you're wearing the neck brace now? I thought it was a rear end accident. Okay.
So she's being super aggressive. And she's like, what's up, guys? You want a fucking party or what? And then, like, she then...
Everyone puts their ones back in their pockets. They're like,
They were starting to. You're not far off. Let me continue.
Hold on, Ryan. Let's set the scene a little bit. Are the women in the same room?
No. The women are in the master bedroom with the male stripper. We're all in the living room area with the female stripper.
Gotcha.
Now, I can tell they're having fun, because in the other room I hear, woo!
Oh, he's helicoptering.
Yeah, he's doing his thing, man. Bunch of cool stuff. He's doing his thing. And so I'm like... All right, this lady's very aggressive and kind of rude. And then she shoves her boobs in my face, comes out, looks around the room, and goes, I guess this guy wasn't breastfed. He didn't even suck on my titties. I'm like, what did you, what? I'm like, I'm not trying to do that. You know, like, so, by the way,
I'm lactose intolerant.
I also like the idea that Ryan's offended. He's like, what? I'm great at sucking on titties. How dare you?
I'm just not a creep. And again, all my friends standing around me, I'm not going to try to be like...
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Again, this is supposed to be like a novelty thing. I'm not going to suck on your tits.
Your fiancé walks out mid-tit suck. Oh, excuse me.
Well, you guys aren't doing this in there?
Yeah. So anyways, I'm like... she's like, all right, now let's do a game here. We're going to lay him down on the floor. So I lay down on the living room floor. And then she unzips my pants, reaches in, albeit over the boxers, grabs, he goes... This guy's not even fucking hard.
That seems inappropriate.
It's super inappropriate. First
you
of all,
say, that's on you, ma'am.
Yeah, well, yeah, I feel like she knew it was on her, was a little upset with me. And I'm like, first of all, what the fuck, lady? What is your problem?
Right.
Third time, friends standing around me. I'm not going to get a boner with, like, I don't know, 18 eyes on me.
Yeah.
Again, also, fiance in the next room. That's an even bigger one.
Right. When I know I'm not going to be having sex with this person, I just not trigger the boner thing.
Right.
So anyways, she does that. She says that, like, five or six more times. She, like, lowers her butt on me, checks my dick, not even hard yet. I'm like, and finally, one of my friends had to be like, lady, he's got all his guy friends around him. He's not going to get hard for you. I'm like, thank you, Raleigh. Thank you.
Now, I got to say, I feel like this was a setup. As soon as you said Ashley asked you for a specific, he's being set up.
No.
And then, because first of all, they want to find out, does he like something other? Does he like something different?
Oh, I see.
And then they're like, okay, whatever he said, opposite. You know what? Fuck him. No. Opposite.
No. Actually, Ashley was pretty fucking upset. She's like, what the fuck? So anyways, then she starts doing this thing where she's like, let's play a series of games. For this first game, I need everyone to put a 20 on his chest. And everyone's like looking at their stack of ones like, I mean, you're going to get $500 or $600 in ones here.
Right.
But, I mean, okay. So, like, a few people put a 20 out. She, like, grabs it with her boobs and, like, puts it right in her purse. Like, that was fun. Next game, I'm going to need 6 more 20s. Everyone's like, now everyone starts to back out of the room like,
yeah.
You know, like, this chick isn't even hot. And she's
I'm
going to
go
rude.
See what's going on with the helicopter guy.
Yeah, right. And so, like, I even tapped out of my own bachelor party. I'm like, hey, Mike, this Navy SEAL, because I know he's very stripper friendly.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, Mike, why don't you play one of these fancy games he's got going? Like, oh, perfect. Here, bring this guy over. All right, I'm going to need 11 20s. So everyone, because she is now, she's basically saying, put those ones away, 20s only. Everyone with their stack of ones that they would have been happy to throw at her, it starts kind of bagging out the room like, I'm going to have a smoke. Right. Yeah, you want to fix up a Jack and Coke? Yeah, let's get in the kitchen here. So people start slowly backing out of the room, including me. I'm like, yeah.
Super awkward, dude.
Yeah, and then, you know, she's still yelling like, oh, yeah, where are you fucking going? So,
and you have to, the thing is, you still have to pay for them to show up.
Right.
So, like, it's not like this is where she's making her. Like, you still have to pay to get them there in the first place.
Right. So, anyway, so, like, people kind of, like, I think she got the vibe. So, after 30 minutes, she was like, all right, anyone else want to play some games? And everyone's like, not really, lady.
No. Should have been like, let's play hide and seek. You go hide. And then you guys just do your shit while she's
tucked in a closet in a laundry hamper with a pillow on top of her head. She, after 30 minutes, she gets it, and she kind of walks in the room and gets dressed. And, you know, afterwards, the girls were like, they found out what kind of experience we had, and they're like, well, that's weird. Like, the guy was fine. He was great. I'm like, of course he is.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if this guy ripped off a belt and started whapping at you, going, yeah, you fucking like that? She's not even wet. Like, there'd be screams, and, like, me and Edge would like, kick down the door and hold him till authorities got there. It's way less acceptable.
Everybody put down 20s. I'm going to pick them up with my taint.
Yeah.
Here, let me ask you this, Ryan. Did they send the bouncer with the stripper? Because this is a thing. When you order a stripper, they frequently will send her with a bouncer guy who stands there intimidating looking, making sure nobody gets
just
out of hand.
Just in case anything, yeah.
No. There was nothing like that.
Probably because they sent two.
Maybe because they sent the man stripper. Because I will say this. When I was in college in a fraternity, they would get strippers to come over and they dance around for like the pledges or something like that. And it was always funny because they would try and send the biggest, baddest motherfucker they had. And since we were up in the Bay Area, it was always some giant black guy from Oakland, huge, jacked, like scary-looking dude. But we had a bunch of football players on a D1 football team in our house. And so they would stand there trying to look intimidating when we had the largest offensive lineman who was on the team, who later played in the NFL, was stand next to him, who was literally a foot taller than the guy.
Jesus.
Plus you have Fred Savage.
Yeah.
What's he gonna
do? No, he was at Stanford. And like three other dudes who were also bigger than him. And so he would have to sit there trying to look intimidating when like four of the 40 dudes surrounding him outweighed him by 100+ pounds.
No, the whole thing is, so she finally left and the dude left. And I felt bad because my friend Ashley felt so bad that like she felt like she'd failed. I'm like, no, you did the best you could.
Right,
like,
there's
no possible way you could have avoided that outcome if they did not send who you ordered. Mm-hmm. And it's not like there's a Yelp review for ordering strippers. They're just like, yeah, we're a business of ill repute. What do you expect? It's like a drug dealer that shows up late. What, do you give him 1 star?
I know, right?
So anyway, all in all, the shitty stripper was not enough to ruin, like, possibly the greatest day of my life.
It was awesome.
Nice. Had so much fun. Thank you to everyone that was involved. The night before that, and my voice is a little still raspier than usual over it, I hosted my first ever pro wrestling event.
I saw the video from it, and I think it's serendipitous that it happened in the same venue that we had the Flat Earth debate.
Yes.
And when they told me, by the way, that night, they told me later on, hey, we're going to have a pro wrestling thing here. I was like, where? This is not a venue where you can put a wrestling stage in.
It's a pretty small venue for
us. You were mistaken, sir.
Yeah, and like I was like, also, if you had it on stage, wouldn't you only have people on one side of it? I don't feel like that's the way those kind of things work. But apparently, no. They're going to do this right in the middle and have people, I don't know, did you have like 8 people in the audience? How did you fit anybody other than the wrestlers in there?
No, it was packed. It was great. There was as many people as there was at the Flat Earth debate.
That's amazing.
But, you know, it was packed around this ring. So, anyway, when I got hired to do it, I got hired, of course, from hosting the Flat Earth debate. The promoter of this wrestling promotion saw me do that. It was like, oh, I need someone with that energy. I need someone with your enthusiasm. Do you know anything about wrestling? I'm like, wrestled for 5 years myself and was a huge WWF fan back in the day. He's like, perfect. So anyway, I show up to this thing, and I kind of think, just based on the flyer where there's a guy dressed as angry Ronald McDonald with like cocaine on his face and
Dirty Ron, actually a friend of ours.
Dirty Ronald McDonald. That's what he goes by. I'm like, okay, this is kind of like a joke thing. This is kind of like a novelty thing. They're going to be doing a faux wrestling event. Dude, it was fucking sick. These guys like belong in the top tier companies. These guys were doing backflips off the top row, double backflips. They were they were flying across the room. They were throwing people outside the ring. It was amazing.
Dude, they did an event at that venue before we had the Flat Earth debate. That's why they had this other one. I watched video from that. They are hardcore, dude. They did thumbtack matches, body slamming dude onto 1,000 thumbtacks. They would staple things to their heads.
Oh, yeah.
They are committed.
This is ECW back in the day, dude. So a bunch of our friends showed up, a bunch of the Gorgenerates, some of our listeners showed up, and oh, my God. Like, everyone there had the same idea going in. They're like, all right, this guy, they're taking a piss.
Right.
By the end, they're like, holy shit, I'm coming back next week. It was amazing. Like, you should have seen Grooves. He was sitting in the corner like, holy fuck, that guy flipped off the top.
Dude, the thing about this kind of wrestling, too, it's really heavily character-driven. Like, Dirty Ron, there's a lot of different characters. We should come up with a character who's a flat earther. And his finishing move is the ice wall. We should get involved in this.
Well, you know what? That does tie in because my buddy and my best man who threw me the bachelor party, he came to the event, and evidently on his way over to the event, he was taking an Uber, and there was a really cute Mexican girl that was driving, and he was like, oh, okay. And she's like, so what are you doing tonight? He's like, I'm going to a wrestling event. He's like, she's like, oh, like a wrestling meet, like college, your friend's wrestling? He's like, no, like pro, like semi-pro wrestling. She's like WWE? And she's like, yeah. She's like, why are you going to that? He's like, okay, well, here's what happened. My friend's a comedian, and he's on this podcast. On the podcast, there was a scientist. The scientist got trolled by an internet guy who said he believed the world is flat, so he debated him, and there was a live debate, and that same comedian friend hosted it, and they debated whether the earth is flat. He's like, what? The earth is flat? He's like, yeah, and then while he was there, some guy handed me a card with a picture of a clown on it and said, come to a wrestling event here, and then I wasn't going to go, but then that same comedian friend again, he turned up hosting this thing, so now I'm in an Uber. And she's like, she just stopped talking to him. She's like, you have a very strange life.
Right.
She's like, you could have left out 90% of those details.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. He ran into the same problem I've run into since that debate, which is explaining to somebody about the flat earth debate makes you sound crazy.
It does.
Even though you're on the side of sanity, you're championing logic and reason, you sound like the crazy person.
Yeah, so that was one of the funner events I've ever emceed. I've emceed a lot of weird things.
This has got to be at least as crazy as the punk shows you used to do. I know you used to emcee punk shows.
Yes, I used to MC punk
shows.
How
does this compare?
Well, I mean, everyone was really nice at this. Like, all the wrestlers, you know.
So the guys doing backflips off the top rope and throwing people out of the ring were nice.
Oh, way nicer than the skinny arms patch fest kids I used to MC punk shows for. The thing is with I think with wrestling, different than the punk shows I used to MC, for those of you who don't know, like when I first started stand-up comedy, stage time is scarce. I mean, open mics are empty. So I used to purposely seek out punk shows and offer to MC them for free because I knew it would be way harder than a stand-up show.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew they'd be way more aggressive. So I spent years MCing some pretty, you know, hectic punk shows in San Diego, LA, and Orange County. The wrestling guys were cool, but at punk shows, I'm not going to say all punk kids, but like a lot of them don't have a wide berth for humor.
Yeah.
And so
I can see that.
The fact that you're there and like making a joke out of something that's supposed to be really hardcore, fucking serious about this. We are anal pain and we came to rock. So, you know, they like some crowds would be into it. Some I'd have to turn around, you know, and that's where a lot of the skills I developed came from. I'm like, oh my God, here's a hostile crowd who will throw those beers they're holding if they don't like me, because they throw them at the bands they do like.
Yeah,
so
I was throwing bottles at them instead. Yeah. Preemptive strike.
That happened. I mean, I think, for instance, one show comes to mind. I was emceeing a show in Orange County, I think it was, And the headliners was a band called Tartar Control. They're like a bunch of people in the they're semi-popular in Southern California, but they're almost like a novelty band. They have a gimmick that like they're it's two guys and like a robot. You know, they dress as nerds or Mormons, I think. And like it's supposed to be like, hey, we're nerds, and then they sing like hardcore punk rock.
Right.
So, but it is a novelty act. So anyway, I was opening for them. I was emceeing their show. So what I'd have to do is I'd have to break my bits into three different segments. So you know, I'd do like the first third of my bit, and then I'd bring up the first bands. And I don't mind telling you, on this one, I was crushing. I was so happy that I was like doing well with this crowd. And then at the end, right before I brought up the headliners, I saw like the lead singer in the front, and he was turning to the crowd, like shaking his head, like "Don't laugh at this guy, don't laugh at this guy." And like, and so I tried to maybe incorporate him into a bit, and he just kind of shit on it. He's like, he tried to do his own little comedy bit, like "No, you're gonna say something stupid." No, ah, and like plugged his ears and like ran away, just shit on the thing that I was trying to do with him. And it occurred to me right then, this guy is in a novelty band that does, like, you know, jokey stuff. So he's used to being the funny guy at punk shows.
Right.
And then they hired a professional comedian to come in to do this. And, you know, suddenly he's feeling, I think, a little bit threatened. I'm not his therapist, but, you know, that's what I gathered. Like, he could not be the funny guy. And if his little joke band followed a comedian, even though as the headliners, they'd come off maybe not as funny. So anyway, he shit on that. And I pretty much had like a few minutes to kill before I brought them up, and he made a huge awkward moment in front of everyone. So I'm like, all right. So I start doing crowd work. I start, you know, riffing, like, you know, roasting a few guys. Everyone's loving it. And this big fat guy in a blue shirt, he is rip roaring laughing as I'm like doing everybody
right.
Like, oh yeah, that's awesome. And then like, I said something to him, not even that. And so I'm like, so what's your deal, Blueberry? And he goes, don't you fucking talk to me. Don't you fucking fuck you, fuck you. And I'm like, I've seen aggressive audience members, but they've never previously been loving everything. That was a very strange
right.
thing
yeah.
to me. They've either been like arms folded, brow furled the whole time, or they've been loving it and they continue to love it. This guy immediately went to anger mode from rip roaring laughing at everybody. So it already threw me off. He's like, I'll fucking see you outside. I'm like, oh, fuck you. You think you're the first guy to get tough with me? And so like, even the promoter's boyfriend was like, give me a look, like, I'll got your back. I fucking got your back. So
anyway, you're like, I don't need someone to get my back. I can jog. I can get away from him.
Yeah. I love how fat guys always think they're tough. They're like, I'm bigger than you. I'm like,
yeah.
I can jab. I can stick and move
right.
for fucking 3 seconds and you'll gas out. I'm not worried about you.
Unless you're the weird Roy Nelson out of the group, I am not worried whatsoever.
So anyway, it had been an awesome night up until this point. Like I said, I had three killer MC spots back to back. All the bands did a great job. The headliner's about to come out. Now all of a sudden, the headliner fucked with me. This one guy's fucking with me. I'm like, fuck it. I met a girl that night that was like kind of waiting there for me. I'm like, you know, fuck this. I'm out. So I brought up the headliners, and the first thing this guy does is go back into shitting on me. He's like, well, give it up for what was supposed to be comedy, I guess. And like, it's it's weird when someone tries to tell some people that were enjoying something that they didn't enjoy it.
Right.
Like, you know, you guys just didn't laugh that whole time. You know, I'm like. Because in between sets when the bands were on, people were coming up and like interrupting my conversation, be like, I'm sorry to interrupt. That was awesome. So I know they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Right. So
the lead singer's like, here's a new song I just wrote backstage called The MC Ryan Sucks.
Yeah. So anyway, and then the fat guy gets on his side like, fuck, that guy insulted me. And he goes, oh, well, give him a break. You know, you got to start somewhere. I'm like, I'm on the same show as you, you dumbass. As a matter of fact, I'm getting paid the same as your whole band, and I don't have to split it. So fuck you.
I don't have to carry anything on stage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like you're a robot, you fucking
home. Oh, God, that's great. You should have gone backstage and broken the robot just to fuck with him.
Sexually assaulted it. Put my dick in his dumb little robot mouth. So Dave, you had you went out to Michigan. That's why you're not at the bachelor party.
Yeah, I have to go back every once in a while, only when I have to. And
just to remind yourself how lucky you have it here,
much.
Detroit.
Pretty
I remember
much.
This.
Yeah, it was a family thing. I went back for, and it was interesting because I've never performed in Detroit. I've done a couple open mics here and there, but I've never had like a booked show.
Right.
And so I booked this trip, and I'm like, you know what? There's a legit club in the suburbs, Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. After I booked the trip, I'm like, I'm going to see if they have a spot I can – I'm going to see who's headlining, just see if I can work something out. So I look, and the headliner that weekend is a friend of mine. Like, I've met the guy at Madhouse. I know him. So I hit him up on Facebook. Like, dude, what do you think about a pop-in Friday night? He's like, yeah, no problem, for sure. I'm like, awesome. This is great. So now I have the flight home. I've got the spot on Friday. I post on Facebook, tell all my friends and family. I tag like 40 people. Hey, come and see me. I was like, this is great. My cousin's like, I bought 4 tickets just now. And then I'm like, I didn't check the times. Let me just make sure this is going to work out. My plane, Detroit Airport is south. It's like a half hour south of the suburbs. I land at 6:39 p.m. There's only one show that Friday scheduled to start at 7:15.
Oh, and you're going to open?
It's a little tight.
Yeah.
So I hit up the headliner again, and I'm like, hey, where do you think they'll put me? Just curious, because I give them the situation. Here's when I land. Here's when the show starts. It's like, well, that club, they start on the dot. They don't mess around. They'll probably put you up right after the MC. I
was Jesus like, Christ.
Okay, well, you know my situation. If I'm not right there, do you think you can put me in later? And he's like, it's kind of on the club. So I'm like, oh, shit. I'm starting to panic because, like,
and clubs, for those of you that don't know, Dave knows certainly, so this is in his head, that clubs don't really respect you as a pop.
No.
You are someone that's been forced on them, and they have their little tribe of bartenders and door guys that also want to go up, and now a headliner's forced a guy they don't know who they already assume is bad.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
they're not going to go comedy like, oh, thank you so much. We'll push it back.
I did not contact the club directly because of that.
Right.
If
you know
I
how
hit
it works.
Up the club and say, hey, Chris is popping me in. Can you work with me? They could have easily been like, what? No, he's not. No pop-ins. And they would have gone to Chris, and he would have gotten in trouble.
Right.
And I would have gone, no, I do not want to mess with that shit.
A pop-in is a pop-in because you surprise it on them.
Yes,
otherwise,
exactly.
They will 86 it.
Exactly. So I've got this spot. I'm like, you know what? 36 minutes, I might be able to do it. Well, the MC time, 45 minutes. I'm thinking in my head, I can maybe still make this work. So now I go back on Facebook.
You also have to remember, when you touch down in the plane, there's
right
not
away.
A taxi cab waiting
exactly.
on the landing strip for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. I don't take carry. I only take carry-on. I don't do check-in bags.
Right.
That's for suckers.
Your
so
Majesty.
That's going to save me.
Did you pull
time.
One of these where, like, as the plane is landing, you unbuckled your seatbelt and ran to the front real quick to get ahead?
Almost. Almost. So I'm
double-legged a 48-year-old lady.
I'm just setting expectations for friends and family. I'm like, hey, it's going to be tight. I'm going to try to make it, but if not, I'll be there to hang out with you guys. And I'll be like, oh, come on. You said you'll be there. Fuck, I already bought tickets. So I'm like, okay, I got to make this happen. I'm just going to hustle. So I tell my parents who are going to pick me up. I'm like, wait in the car. Do not come into the airport because I don't want to walk through the airport with your slow asses to the
car.
Wait in the car. I will run to you. I will drive. So if I'm late, it's on me. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm planning this all out. So now it's the day I'm leaving, Friday. The plane out of San Diego, it's a nonstop, by the way. Plane out of San Diego leaves 25 minutes late.
Oh.
Which never happens.
So no.
Even checked the flight statistics on that particular flight, 96% on time.
In Los Angeles and Pennsylvania, or in Philly airport, it happens. In San Diego, never. It's like a small airport.
You're the entire flight, the entire cross-continental flight, you're sitting there sweating bullets. You can't contact anybody.
The reason
anybody.
It was late is because the computer at the check-in desk wasn't working.
So he called John Grubbs, come running down to the airport, fix it up for him.
So I get on the plane. At this point, I'm kind of resigned to not making the show. And I'm in the plane. I have no way to contact anybody.
Right.
So about halfway through the flight, I go to the back. I talk to the stewards. I'm like, hey, just curious, when do you think we'll land? They start checking on their phones and their schedules. Like, oh, even though we got off late, we'll probably land 10 minutes early. I'm like,
wow.
Ooh, okay, wait, this might work. And so I tell them, listen, I'm a comic. I got to run out of here to get to a show. And they're like, oh, my gosh, that's so exciting. That's cool. Yeah, you know what? When we get ready to land, there's an empty seat up front. We'll move you to a closer seat so you can get a little bit sooner.
First class?
I was like, boom, love it.
What a cool flight crew.
So now, you know.
Mine would be like, stop resisting.
Yeah, I know, right?
We got an unruly passenger.
By the way, we should call this episode, It's Good to Be White.
So we started to get closer to Detroit, and I grab another stewardess just to, hey, the one lady said I could get a little closer. Oh, yeah, no problem. We'll take care of you. All right, cool. So now we get closer. They make, oh, we're going to be landing soon. Seatbelts, all that shit. I'm looking around, waiting for someone to come and get me. Nobody.
Right.
I'm like, okay, maybe soon. We start the descent. I'm like, okay, no one's coming. Okay. We land. I'm like, okay, no one's coming to get me. The bell dings for everyone to get up.
Yeah.
God damn it. I stand up, and you know what it's like.
Where's your initiative? Why didn't you just go?
The aisle is full. Like, you have to wait for all these people. And I'm just like, fuck, let's go. So finally, After like 10 minutes of standing waiting, it's my turn to walk off the plane. I go past through. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to come and get you. I'm like, no problem. I got to go. Fucking run through the airport.
I'm surprised Dave didn't have him pass him over yeah, their right. heads like Toby Hooper and fucking Spider-Man.
You could at least go on Crocodile Dundee on that one. Come yeah. on. But no, so I get to the airport. I am at the farthest terminal at the end. So I've got to run all the way down. And a little bit early.
And of course, I got to stop at Cinnabon. I mean, yeah,
absolutely. But I'm running. I'm a little bit early, but this time's getting eaten up. So I get out there. My parents are in the car. My dad seems intent on driving. I think he just wants to be part of the getting me to the show on time.
Right.
So I get in passenger seat. Google says I will get there at 7:12.
Oh.
Show starts at 7:15. And I'm like, fuck, I got to make this.
How many
so every
times
hint
did you
of traffic, I'm like, God damn it, God damn it, God damn it.
How many times did you use the phrase, hurry it the fuck up, old man?
Yeah, right? So we get there. We drive. We not much traffic. We fucking make the drive. We pull up in front of the club at 7:12. The car in front of me, I just noticed the headliner's getting out of the car in front of me. He's like, oh, shit, there's the headliner. Fuck, got to go, mom and dad. Go park. Come meet me inside. So I get out. Chris is like, hey, dude, you made it. Hugs me. Takes me into the club. He's like, hey, all right, green room's back here. Here's the manager. Manager, big burly guy, shakes my hand. He's like, you the poppin'? I'm like, yeah. He's like, fucking comics always running late. Come with me quick. Takes me in the back where the MC is waiting to go on stage.
Oh, my God.
They're making the opening announcements right now.
Wow.
She's about to go on stage. She's like, tell her your name real quick so she can do it. And I'm like, my name's Dave Callen. She repeats it back to me. And as she does, they call her on stage.
Wow.
Made it by that fucking
wow.
close.
Wow.
I have something semi-comparable, but it was my fault that I was so late because I made a decision. It was in the Endless Bummer Tour last summer. I was doing, I did one with Bobby here in California. Then I went over to Amity. I was supposed to do one in Pittsburgh. It got canceled. And then to New York, I played Manhattan. And then from Manhattan, I was taking a train to Boston to do two more gigs. So anyways, I was doing, I believe it was, it was New York on a Friday night, Boston on a Saturday night. So anyways, I do the gig in Manhattan. Afterwards, the headliner, John Fugelsang, who has a show on XM radio that has 35 million listeners, he sees me, calls the promoter and goes, how would you and Ryan like to come on my show tomorrow? I'm like, you guys really impressed me. I'm like, holy shit. He's like, tapes at one. Wow. I'm like, oh fuck, I gotta be in Boston. Like, how far is that? Is it close? So I'm looking, because I'm taking a train there. So I was just going to leave in like, you know, the middle of the early in the morning, get to Boston, have some lobster, check in my hotel room, right. and have plenty of time. Now I'm like, all right, show tapes at 1. All right, first train after ends at 2. First after that is until 3:30. I'm like, and so I'm doing the math here. I'm like, holy fuck, I'm going to get to Boston, like within 1 minute of like
wow.
the end of the show. Now, I called the promoter and he agreed to let me close out the show, the last guy. I'm
right.
like, well, I appreciate that. But I'm telling him the train schedule and the times, like, I don't think you're going to make it. Like you, I had people that had already bought tickets
yeah.
and were going to be there. It was people that had been following me online but never met me in person for 4 years. This is the closest I would be to their home in New Hampshire.
And he doesn't show up, King of Pranks.
So I'm like, just because there's people coming, if there's no one there that was going to miss me, I would have said, fuck
yeah.
it. I have a second show the next night. I don't care. But I'm like, dude, people have driven from New Hampshire. They tagged me in a post on Facebook that they had just checked into their hotel in Boston.
Man.
And were very excited for the show. I'm like, I can't just be like, sorry. And I also couldn't turn down going on XM radio because that is a
right.
credit. Playing Boston, not a credit. Being on XM radio, 35 million people, I can't turn that down. So I do the fucking radio show. I'm in the studio directly next to Howard Stern's studio. Like the big fist logo's on the door, like facing me as I'm on air. I'm like, God, this is cool. So anyways, I get out of there. I'm running past like the security desk. All of a sudden I hear, hey, nice shirt. I'm wearing a Black Flag shirt. I turn, it's the singer of the Dropkick Murphys there to do Stern. I'm like, can't talk to you right now. And I fucking
no time for fans.
Always nice to be the fan. No, I'm like, I would have loved to stop and chat with this guy who's there with like a stroller with his kid in it. And he's like, hey, nice shirt, bro. Can't talk to you. So I run down, I fucking negotiate my way through Manhattan streets with a big rolly suitcase and duffel bag.
He doesn't know this, but now the Dropkick Murphys hate him because they think he snubbed him.
Yeah, them and Tartar Control talk shit all the time.
They actually like him a lot because he negged them.
So anyway, of course, you know, New Yorkers in Manhattan, super polite and accommodating. I'm like, excuse me, got a train to catch. They're like, oh, yes, sir, right this way. Or they said, fuck you, and started punching me in the back of the head as I ran past them. So I get down to the subway, I catch the train. Beautiful trip to Boston by train from New York, by the way. We're going through Connecticut. There's little canals and lakes, and I'm like, this is pretty. And I check my watch. I'm like, I think I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to fucking make this. And all of a sudden, the train just stops. I'm like, and I'm sitting at a little table having dinner because I have to eat right now, you know, to have some sustenance. And I turn to the guy who's like having a Yingling and a burger across from me. I'm like, hey, why is the train stop? He's like, probably a deer. That happens all the time. I'm like, how long does it usually take? Like, 5 minutes to 2 hours. Who knows? I'm like, ah! So anyways.
He gets out, starts running.
Yeah. No, I almost.
Yeah, I was like, what am I, a fucking deerologist?
Yeah. Fuck you. You ran past me in New York. I know you. So anyways, I'm freaking out. I'm like live tweeting this all on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm like, I'm trying to get there. If you fucking are there, I'm sorry. So I'm sweating bullets. I have to change in that little tiny bathroom into my show clothes. And now I'm just pacing up the aisle of this train, which makes everyone super nervous.
Oh, right. Sure.
Yeah. So I'm like one guy's like, sir, are you okay? I'm like, shut the fuck up.
When you're in a situation out of your control on a tight schedule, you stress the fuck out.
Yeah, it's not like I can go into the fucking...
You cannot relax. You can't even accept, like, I'm going
to
be late.
I can't. Like, it's not like you would tell the conductor to step on it, you know? So anyways, so I get a text from the promoter. Show started. I'm like, I checked. Now the train starts to move again. I'm like, how far are we? It's like, hour out. I'm like... How long does the show go? He's like, hour. I'm like, So finally, I'm calling a cab like as we're pulling into the station, and it's like this like a really angry looking Somali guy. Like, I jump and throw my bags and I'm like, Great Scott Comedy Club, Great Scott Comedy Club. I'm like, here's the address. And so he starts going just slowly. So Dave, do you remember that scene in Return of the Living Dead where the zombie eats the cop and it gets on the radio and goes, send more cops. Then gets on, send more paramedics. As he's going slow, I reach in my wallet, pull out a 20, and I hand it to him and went, speed. He starts speeding, but he starts stopping at every red light. I pull out another 10. Run red lights. He goes, yes, sir, and speeds through a fucking all the red lights.
He's like a payoff version of the devil on people's shoulders in cartoons, giving them bad advice.
So I spend $30 extra to get this guy to break the speed limit and run red lights. He gets me there. I throw him some more cash. I get my bags. I go running in. The guy's like, he's like, sir, that's $5. I'm like, I'm the last guy. I like throw in my bags. Bouncer catches my suitcase. I'm like, thank you. And as I'm running, the host is on stage like, well, I guess that's it for, and he told me to give him a signal. I wave my hand. He's like, oh, we have one more guy. I'm like, yes!
Victory.
Meanwhile, he's walked half the crowd because he was going with, I guess that's it.
Such a victorious feeling. Dude, the crazy thing about my show, too, is because I said I knew the headliner. He's Chris Newberg. He recorded his CD the next night there. So he's great. You should pick up a CD. But I not only knew him, when I got there, I found out I knew the feature. I've booked him at Madhouse before.
Oh, who's that?
And then one of the managers of the club is a guy I used to work at a movie theater with 30 years ago.
Wow.
Are you fucking serious?
Then after the show, two of my cousins who bought tickets to see me, they start talking to the headliner after the show, like longer than a fan would talk to somebody. Then they come see me. I'm like, what is that all about? Like, he used to date our sister, my other cousin. I'm like, are you fucking? So I go to the headliner, Chris Newberg. I'm like, dude, you know my cousin? He's like, who? I'm like, I tell him the name. He's like, oh, yeah, we used to date. Fuck you.
Jesus,
are you
Christ.
Kidding me? But yeah, it was a great show. I had a good spot. I'm sure you had a good spot.
Did you hang out afterwards at all?
Yeah. So yeah, I did hang out after the show. A guy I met who is involved in the comedy scene in Michigan met me after the show. I knew him. He's like friend of a friend. And he promotes like six local shows, six rooms that he runs. Nice guy. Super friendly. But he turned out to be a little too quote, on for me. You ever meet him? Here's what I mean. He's a comedy promoter. So after the show, me and one of my cousins are like, let's go grab a drink. He's like, oh, I'll go with you. Cool. Let's all hang out. We go outside. He's talking to passersby on the street. Hey, do you support live comedy?
I don't like that at all.
Hey, do you go to live comedy shows? Do you go to, like, I'm like, wow, that's a little.
That's really more of an interrogation than a promotion, isn't it?
So my cousin who's with us, she works at a bar. She's like, hey, are you going to come visit me in my bar tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, no problem. He overhears, he's like, what bar? Do you guys do comedy? She's like, no, we do live music. He's like, oh, so you don't do comedy yet. I'm going to come to your bar and talk to the owner. We get to the bar my cousin's taking us to. As soon as we walk in the door, he's like, this would be a great spot for a comedy show. I got to talk to him. I'm like,
dude, this is Wiener Schnitzel. Shut up.
Can you please just be normal for a little bit? Just turn it off. Just turn it off for a second.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was just with our buddy Adam Connie at a show we were on a week ago where they said no gang colors. But,
but we got some in anyways. Fuck those guys.
Yeah.
Latin Kings, bitches.
Yeah, the El Cajon Twoses. But we were outside, and Adam, like this cute girl who's like was just running to like drop keys off at her work. She goes running back to her car, and Adam's like, "Hey, hey, why are you out here when you should be watching live comedy inside?" I'm like, "Just you were there for that." I'm like, "Why don't you just block her way into her car and take her keys from her?" Like,
just hate barking for customers.
I don't like barking, and I also think that some people don't realize how they come off. Me, I always think about everything I do is, how would I interpret this if I saw someone else doing it, you know? If somebody walked up to me on the street and went, hey, hey, you like comedy? I'd be like, fuck you, man. But, like, some people are like, yeah, you know, if I was walking down the street and someone started yelling comedy at me, I'd go, well, where is that at, sir? Take my money.
You're like the comedy version of those guys in Vegas who fucking slap those cards in their hands and put them in your face.
Yeah.
Like, it's at best, you're obnoxious. At worst, you're desperate. Like,
right.
Oh, it's a bad look.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, no, it's very difficult. And I also wonder, like, these people that think every place is good for a show.
Yeah. Like, he's already running six rooms. Like, he wants to pick up. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Sometimes I show up to shows, like, what about this set? This is a good idea. I'm standing on a pool table.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, 40 feet from a deep fryer.
That's true, because I'm somebody, you know, I've put on shows before, and I always like to look for venues, but I'm also super skeptical of every venue I see. Even if I see the perfect one, I'm always like, their PA system looks old, or there's always something wrong. I'm always interested in the glasses half full promoter who goes into like a Supercuts and is like, this would be a great place for a comedy show.
Yeah, there's
freestanding walls and half a ceiling.
Yeah, no.
Set it up.
I remember once I insulted our good buddy Rocco on stage because he did one at his boxing gym in downtown. In the stage, ropes obstructing your view with a gigantic pole just blocking everyone's view. On the night that Dana White first let women into the UFC, a historic pay-per-view event at an MMA gym. And I'm like, I just got out there, saw the ropes, saw the pole blocking me from the audience, and I just went, are you a retarded person? Who does this?
Actually, that reminds me. I saw an abandoned semi-trailer. I think we should do a show in it on
the night
of the McGregor fight. McGregor Mayweather will do a show that night. It'll be fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that's a great place for a show. Anyway, speaking of great shows coming up, we got one together, right, Bobby?
Yes,
when is that?
Degenerate Takeover.
The Degenerate Takeover at Madhouse. It will be this coming weekend on Sunday, August 27th. Come on out to Madhouse. That's at an 8 p.m. showcase, and all three of us will be on that one.
We will.
And then, Ryan, you and I, next month, September 15th, we have a show at Bay Bridge Brewery.
That's right.
Friday.
I'll be headlining. Bobby will be my pop-in.
Woo!
Hopefully he gets there on time.
Yeah.
So, so that is, September 15th? That's
right, and if you guys want to come, Ryan, I think we should do this as maybe a post-event or a pre-event. There is a trampoline park, like, almost next door. So we could do a trampoline park event as well.
I also have one of those in my backyard.
So every time I go there, I'm like, this would be a great place for a comedy show.
Yeah, I can do a little bounce. Oh, like Gallagher. Gallagher did that. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the Twos. This guy's not even fucking hard.
Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.
I'm great at sucking on titties. How dare you?